Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. After a week hiatus, I was in Spain, and now we are back. I'm Matt. That's Bob. How you doing, Bob?
Matt, I'm happy to have you back.
Good to be back.
So tell us about Spain. We got a lot to get to. Raptors,
yep.
Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I have a theory about what Mitch Marner is going to sign for that is either totally brilliant or completely lunatic.
Yeah.
That we'll get to.
That's exciting.
About 20 minutes.
Nice.
It dawned on me last night, and I ran to the internet, and it works out perfectly.
Ooh.
So, yeah, okay.
Fingers crossed for team-friendly contract.
John Wick, Mick Jagger. We got so much.
Oh my God, the Mick Jagger video.
let's start with
Mick Jagger before Spain. So, for people who don't know, Mick Jagger sent out a tweet of him like working out and practicing just all his dance moves and just his concert. You know, just what he does on stage.
75-year-old Mick Jagger, lead singer of the Rolling Stones, and they had recently canceled dates because he had heart problems.
Yeah, yeah, and when you hear about a band that's prolific, that loves to tour and really loves money, when like they're the opposite of Guns N' Roses. They don't leave money on the table. They've like it's them and Kiss in terms of who takes all the money. And when you hear that they were canceling tours, like my first thought was, oh, it's health. They're not young. Mick Jagger just shamed every elderly person in that video.
We've got it. We'll put it out on our Instagram account
if
you haven't seen it. He looks so good at 75. I've shamed 75-year-olds.
Yeah.
I felt shamed.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't do his workout.
He's
got to put out a video.
Yeah.
Jagger size.
Yeah. Ooh, Jagger size. That's a good idea. I know. I put down my Danish, mopped the sweat off my brow, and was... I felt shame as well. I'm like, look at that. Crazy.
Are you going to see them, though? Would you see them? Because you're a huge... You might be a bigger Stones fan, like... You're probably the biggest Stones fan I know. They've got to be your number one band.
Arcade Fire's number one now.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, and they've been around long enough. Not Prisoner of the Moment, since 04. But yeah, I mean, I grew up with the Rolling Stones. I've seen them play many, many times. It depends. Like, it's a really expensive ticket.
What's the cheapie, 200?
Yeah, like, you don't want to be in a horrible seat. It's either you don't go or you spend a lot of money. I would go... If I was promised, like, they're going to play most of X on Main Street. Like, it's got to be, like, a lot of their B-sides and a lot of their other stuff. I'm going full hipster if I'm going to see the Stones.
Oh, okay. So it's the opposite of the U2 cash grab where they go out and do the Joshua Tree from beginning to end?
Yeah.
Because it's the 30th anniversary.
Oh, my God. Now I feel even older than that just watching that Mick Jagger video.
I just thought it wasn't a good enough reason to tour a record.
Money's money.
Yeah, that's true. The money's still good.
Have you seen the taxes on your French home? It's pricey.
That is true.
So, Spain.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah.
Actually, let's get Spain later.
Yeah, well, let's get to Raptors.
I got a question for you. My wife says to me, I can get two pairs of tickets for either games or a pair of tickets for either game 3 or game 4 of the Raptors and the Bucks.
Yeah.
It'll be about $350 each. Do you do it?
Yes. And you go for game 4 because game 3 is also Game of Thrones. That's on Sunday.
Yep, good point.
Game 4. Yeah, you do it.
$350 though?
You don't have a...
They're 300s.
Yeah. You don't spend a lot of money.
Nope.
Like, you're not someone that
I'm not
has,
cheap. I just don't have a lot of expensive hobbies.
Yeah, you don't have a lavish lifestyle. The most expensive thing you own is your child.
Which is a little
pricey. But thankfully, she's probably yet to go to dance camp or hockey.
No, I took her to gymnastics last night so she could do her... cartwheels.
Summer camp's expensive, but the good thing is CC is good at track.
I know.
Track and field is a lot cheaper than so many other sporting events. You really got to focus on track because all you need is shorts, you know, in a field.
The real question is not would I pay $350 to sit there and watch them win because that would be thrilling.
Yeah.
But in game 4, do I think I would pay $700 of our hard-earned money, which could be an extra 3 days of vacation for the family if we do it right, to watch them lose?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like, I need a guarantee from Mick Jagger of the set list. you need a guarantee from Gasol and Danny Green that they're not going to fucking suck.
All right, let's just get right into it. You are going to put explicit on this one, right?
If I remember to hit the button.
We'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know it's just a button.
It's just, anyway.
Yeah. You know what I saw this morning?
Yeah.
And I had to check it over and over and over again because it just seemed impossible. The only Raptor to make a field goal in the fourth quarter was Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
I know.
One guy made a field goal in the entire... I've never heard of that.
Kawhi Leonard went 0 for 3, hit 2 free throws. That was his points, but no field goals. Kawhi Leonard was blocked twice by Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
Twice. That fourth quarter, let me throw this question out to you. It's one of my main themes today. Did that fourth quarter remind you of game one against Cleveland last year?
Sadly, it did.
Yeah.
Sadly, it did. On paper, no, because there wasn't that one moment. I guess you could argue the Danny Green steal that led to the Bucks taking the lead.
Yeah.
That kind of felt like a terrible moment. Game one against Cleveland had everybody missing at the rim.
Yeah.
Right? And it going to overtime. So there was like a single thing that happened that you could hang your hat on where the Raps blew it. But this was just a... I woke up this morning thinking, nah, what are you going to do? You're on the road, you lose, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it more and more. They were up by 7 going into the fourth. They were 45-1 this year when up by 7 or more points going into the fourth quarter. 45-1. Then you start breaking down the nobody hit a bucket. You start breaking down, Gasol was 2-for-11. Danny Green was 1-for-5. Pascal Siakam, I know he's got tough defensive responsibilities, but he was 6-for-20.
Yep.
And he can't hit anything from the corner.
Nope.
Which you need him to do. And then I started thinking, wait a minute. They hairballed that one. That was a total cough job.
We will look, and this is totally unfair, but it's how it works. We will look back at game one as a blown opportunity if they lose the series. If they win the series, it'll be, hey, these things happen. That's kind of how we view it. But you're right. Like, this morning, how can it not be seen that way? If Gasol and Green are average, the Raptors win. They didn't score in the final like 3 minutes of that game. It was that fourth quarter was ugly, and you didn't have one of these crazy Giannis games.
Funny that he's 24-14, and we call it a quiet night for him.
And 6 assists. That's another big part of it. You're absolutely right. Giannis. For him, that was a quiet night. There are all these things where you look back and go, how did you lose that game? I'm sort of dancing between it. Do I look at the positives? That Kyle Lowry looked great. They led for 37 of 48 minutes. The defense, again, throughout the playoffs, they were fantastic. Those are the pros. And the cons are that the bench gives them nothing. And Gasol and Green are continuing what they've done against Philadelphia, which is jack squat offensively.
It's an embarrassment. All right, so the day after is for Blaine, as we all know. Is there one Raptor that you single out as having the worst night?
Gasol. And I know that he's good defensively, but that you need more than that. And what bothers me about Gasol offensively, it's that so many of the misses were wide open. You know, sometimes when you look at a bad shooting night, you got to dig a little bit. How many were, you know, right at the end of the shot clock because no one else was doing anything and you got the ball with 2 seconds left. Like, all right, I guess I'll just huck it up there. But how many of was it within the flow of the offense, you're open, you've got to make those shots.
Well, and the offense kind of flows through him a lot. Mm-hmm. As they cycle the ball around the perimeter, a lot of times Gasol is in a key decision-making position.
Yeah.
And when he passes up open shots, which he did a lot during Philly, and he also did last night, it's often they work really hard, and he's got an open look. So if he's passing it up, it tends to be late in the shot clock to somebody who has not as good a shot as him because you just work to get him open. So if he doesn't take those looks, not only is he hurting the offense, he's putting other players in really, really tough positions.
It is a selfish, unselfish act by him because it's like, no, you have the ball. I'm unselfish. No, sometimes you got to shoot and he's not doing it. So
it's like when you offer the last piece of pizza to somebody and you don't really want them to have it, But you kind of want them to take it because then you can use it against them later.
Yeah.
Like they know, even if you never bring it up again, that you gave up the last piece of pizza. So they got to do you a solid.
You know what? It's even more than that. It's Gasol gave you the last slice of pizza, but what he's not telling you is he's already full and he sees that there's a hair on it. You take it. No. Though I am hungry and that looks delicious, though I'm full and there's a hair on it, you have the pizza. I'm giving it unto you.
Gasol's night also just, they had so many offensive rebounds. And Lopez and Giannis, look, Giannis is just a beast and you're not going to stop him.
Nope.
And you probably can't even contain him. But they were so vastly out-rebounded. I think it was a 2-1 margin in the fourth quarter.
Bob, you're being too nice. It was 3-1.
3-1?
18-6. Crazy. The only reason I was doing research for the show today, 18-6 out-rebounded in the fourth quarter.
So that's obviously a problem. But I kind of blame Nick Nurse a little bit for this, too, because Gasol played 40 minutes, and he was coming off a tough seven-game series, and he's playing hard minutes.
Yep.
Maybe we needed to see a little bit more of Serge earlier. I know he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But you could see Gasol's legs just died at the end of this game. And you need him in the final five to be at least a little more rested. And I know it's not like Serge was a great option.
Yeah.
But and maybe this is one of those Monday morning quarterback things where you never know what the opposite would have yielded. But looking at that and seeing how tired Gasol was after playing those crazy hard minutes, I kind of felt like Nurse... And this sounds weird coming from me because I've been leaning on the gas for him to ride the starters.
Yeah.
But maybe he needed to go with Serge a little more.
Well, let's go down there for a second. Because the bench stinks, four of the five starters for the Raptors played 40 or more minutes. No one on Milwaukee played more than 35. Dave Feschuk and I were joking about this. There's a name drop. Yeah, I'm kind of friends with Dave Feschuk. No big deal.
Were you DMing each other?
I don't know what that... You mean like, I rolled a 17 and I got six hit points off a Hobgoblin. Dungeons and Dragons joke. We were wondering when is the word, you know, like tired, fatigued, gassed. When is that going to start being part of the conversation
now
with Raptors starters? And it has started now. Kawhi Leonard, three shots in the fourth quarter, only 2 points. You know, just to add to your point about Gasol, and that is a good reason why Gasol maybe isn't playing well. He's tired. He's an old man.
He's older, too.
Yeah. You know, this is a time where the bench being this bad, it's killing them. It's killing the Raps.
It's funny when you think that last year going into the playoffs, the big thing about the Raptors was they're so deep that they'll be able to throw multiple bodies at you.
Yeah.
And in the end, they ran into the thresher that is LeBron, and everyone said, you got to have a star. And then you go out and get the star, and this year it's like, but the bench. Mm-hmm. There's just no bench. I've made this analogy so many times on the show, but it's so true. It is the hotel blanket that is just too small.
Yep.
Am I going to cover my feet or cover my shoulders? You got to make a pick.
Oh, yeah. And listen, if I have to choose, you'll always choose to have the dominant starters and a bad bench versus, you know, good starters and a very good bench. I'll always take, you know, the high-end starters, which, you know, it's what the Raptors have.
It's funny because you're kind of alluding to something here that we haven't discussed. In years past, we were very quick to throw Masai under the bus.
Yeah.
Whenever it looked like anything was wrong with the team. Is it possible he's skating because we're just so happy with Kawhi, but the fact is the Gasol deal, if they wind up going out this way, doesn't look as good as maybe people thought it did?
The 3-point
shooting. I'm not arguing for that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying, is it possible?
It is possible, but you look at just the 3-point shooting the moment Gasol got here. The Raptors became the best 3-point shooting team in the league, at least in the regular season. I don't blame Masai for this because every team except for Golden State has its faults and has its flaws. This is just the Raptors' version, and it's just Ibaka was really bad, and Van Vliet was missing shots, like just. The bench has been so monumentally horrible.
I'm kind of with you on this one. I feel like he made the gamble, which was the smart gamble, which is get as many good players as you can and just throw them out there and hope they do good things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on this one. I know I say this mostly because my dad's furious that there's no Jonas Valanciunas coming off the bench to help stabilize that unit.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know how much if Valanciunas is here, who's not? You know, and Gasol.
Well, Gasol's not.
But Gasol's been great. Gasol's a better defender than Valanciunas. What would Joel Embiid's numbers have been if you swap Valanciunas for Marc Gasol. So, you know, it's funny. Now I'm defending Marc Gasol, and I, you know.
And you probably don't want to do that today. Okay, I'll get you mad again then.
Yeah.
At what point do we stop talking about Danny Green's past playoff successes? As though somehow there was a magic solution for the fact that he really stinks in these playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The two narratives. Well, the Raptors have more playoff experience, but the Milwaukee Bucks are more rested. Which one will be a better factor? Well, clearly it's the rest. It's not the playoff experience. You know, we already talked about Gasol. Danny Green is averaging 37% in the playoffs. He had a great regular season. You know, but it just goes to show you just the difference in regular season where defenses aren't always going to be trying hard and the pressure is different. Like Danny Green, the game that bothered me the most was game 7 against Philly. He attempted 1 3-point shot. He was scared. You cannot be both scared and lauded for your playoff experience. You can't have both. And Danny Green, it's been one big turd sandwich.
That's a great point, that the one thing you would expect from somebody who's been there before is not to be afraid of the moment. You see that with Serge.
Yeah.
Serge may have been bad,
yeah,
but Serge doesn't look scared.
No, he doesn't.
Serge is okay being Serge.
Yeah. We're scared for Serge, but Serge ain't scared for Serge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a great point, because that's the one thing you would expect is not to be swept up in the past.
Yeah.
But it seems like there was this great moment yesterday. I don't know if you noticed it, but when the game was basically over and the Raps were down by 8 and there was about a minute and a half left on the clock, maybe a little less. But there was the technical foul, and so Danny Green was on the line. There was the technical and the ball.
Yeah.
So in theory, you had an opportunity to cut the lead in half and get to 4 with about, maybe there was like 25 seconds left. And Green misses the free throw.
Yep.
And Lowry goes immediately over there and basically gives them, all right, buddy, let's get right back at it. Because I'm sure Lowry's thinking, okay, Green's a shell of himself in this game.
Yeah.
But we just can't win if he's no good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you just can't. So he's got to be good.
And you wasted that Kyle Lowry night.
Wasn't he great?
He was so good.
Thought about buying his jersey this morning.
The Siakam jersey's the play. That's what I bought my nephew for his birthday. The Siakam's the play.
Can I throw out a theory on Siakam?
Yeah.
In a way, the All-Star talk kind of hurt how we're looking at his performance, because I actually think he's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's been 6-for-20 and his efficiency is really down, but he's getting really tough defensive matchups.
Yeah.
And he's a kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's a kid. Like, he's never gone this far before. Like, it's as though we've, like with the Leafs, we're obsessed with, oh, the young players haven't done this before. It's like all we talk about is their inexperience in the playoffs and how they got to learn. But with Siakam, it's like, oh, shut up and go out there and guard Giannis and get us 25 points.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You saw in the Philly series, he's getting double teamed a lot. They were switching Joel Embiid on him. You know, like coaches and the other
teams. Total respect.
Total respect. They're scheming against him. Yeah, I don't have as much vitriol this morning towards Siakam. I mean, yeah, he wasn't great, but it's fun watching the growth of this young kid.
He was really good when you consider the degree of difficulty of what he was being asked to do.
Oh, yeah.
And his numbers of years in the league.
Yeah.
He's just going to be better next year.
He's young and he's being guarded, which is the opposite of Gasol. He's old, a veteran who's not being guarded.
And I'm sure these guys are confused. Like, what exactly is Kawhi's role and what is my role? Like, even now, I'm sure they're confused. Like, Kawhi puts up points, you know, like in the LeBron and Michael territory for one season against Philly, for one series against Philly. And they start playing. I'm sure they must be thinking, like, how much am I supposed to defer to Kawhi here? Especially a kid like Siakam. Like, maybe it's different if you're Gasol, you've been around, but, you know, you're a newbie in the league. Mm-hmm. You got Kawhi, who's a genuine top five player. Like,
yep.
How much am I supposed to defer to him?
Well, in the fourth quarter, well, last night didn't matter. He only took 3 shots.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. Just about, here's the thing. If Kawhi's set screens. You know, if Kawhi is feeling it, set screens. But otherwise, you got to be aggressive. You just take the shots. Take the open shots, because if you miss an open 3, there's more of a chance for an offensive rebound. There's more opportunities for you to still do something positively on the offensive end.
I would have liked to have seen Kawhi take more mid-range jumpers. It felt like he was too willing to go 1-on-3 too many times in the fourth.
Yeah.
I know that we call it hero ball, and he's been that hero, and you pay him, and you love him to be that guy. But if you hit a couple mid-range jumpers, they can't hang back in the paint quite in the same way. Someone's got to step up and respect it. At least you buy yourself a little room, even if only to pass out of the double. But once you got 3 people around you, like, that's why Brook Lopez was able to eat his lunch, was because he was running into a brick wall over and over again.
Yep, he was. But sometimes because we agree that Kawhi is really smart, And in the past,
really smart.
And Kawhi's also been an unselfish guy. He's not a guy who cares about numbers. So if those two things are true, when Kawhi is going 1-on-3, is it because A, he's selfish, or B, because he's seen what everyone else around him, not named last night Kyle Lowry, but he's seen what everyone else around him is doing? Sometimes when Kawhi goes hero ball, to me, that's more of a reflection of what everyone else isn't doing versus what he's doing.
I agree with you. I would just say maybe look to take a 15 to 18 foot jump shot more often than necessarily just driving.
Yeah.
It was a tight whistle. He wasn't getting calls. And he was going into the teeth of a paint defense, which is really good, against big guys.
Yeah.
And
no, that's good. That's a good point.
He's been great. I just felt like he could have changed the strategy a little bit.
Yep, that's fair. And he's a really good mid-range jump. Yeah, you know,
really good. So that weird line drive, eh?
Yeah,
that weird line drive.
Game 2 Friday night.
Yeah.
If the Raptors, and I don't think they will be. I think this series, even with the loss, this series is going 6-7 games. If the Raptors are down 0-3, do not spend the money for Game 4. If it's, you know, obviously 2-1, either way, then spend the money.
Okay, good. Yeah. So call back to how much I would spend. $700 is a lot, but honestly, not for playoffs, though.
Yeah, not for playoffs.
Not for playoffs.
And if they win 3 years down the road, you're still thinking of that win. You're not thinking of the fact that, CeCe had to go to a less prestigious dance camp in the summer, you know.
You mean she has to do her cartwheels at a less prestigious gymnastics school?
Yeah, she has to bring her own lunch instead. They provide the hot lunch, which is just Kraft dinner, but it's an extra $70.
I said an abalone fritz, you idiot, not a bologna sandwich. Simpsons reference. Okay, quick questions before we move on, though. Or we can come back to it if you want.
Yeah.
Because of the way the Kawhi shot went down, because of the exorcism narratives that were run not just through the Toronto media, but the national media as well, does it matter what happens in this series? Like, can you be disappointed in these playoffs at this point?
If it's a sweep, yeah.
I think you're right.
As long as you look like you belonged. That's another one of the positives from last night. They didn't get run off the court. They didn't look like they shouldn't be there. You know, they led for 37 to 48 minutes. As long as you look like you belong, where you could win the game, win the series, I'm fine. If it's what happened last year in that sweep to Cleveland, then yes, it's disappointing. You know, poise counts. Yeah, the optics count in this. By the way, one final thought on that Kawhi shot. Twitter's weird. I like to think of myself as somewhat intelligent every now and then. I like to dabble in the fine arts of snark and sarcasm. I sent out a tweet 5 minutes after, not even, 2 or 3 minutes after the game, and it was after the Kawhi Leonard shot. And then the tweet was something like, Mike Babcock's confused about why Kawhi's on the court for that shot. You know, just...
That's a great line.
Yeah. 1,000 retweets.
Really?
Was
it literally 1,000?
Yeah. Well, last time on the show yesterday, we were giggling about it. It was like 993 retweets and like 6,000 favorites or likes, whatever. And I'm like, I've crafted far better than, I did a tweet about the Game of Thrones video game coming out. I'm like, finally, now I can have incest in my video games.
I saw that one. It was funny.
And that one, I'm like, okay, that's a clever tweet. Yeah, all right. Got a couple people, you know, like golf clap. But Twitter's weird. Somehow that tweet is the one that took off, which again reminds me, people are still angry at the Maple Leafs.
Timing as well. Everybody was online. Everyone was talking about it. And you found a way to bring the Leafs into the Raptors discussion, which is the key to Toronto sports radio.
Yeah, it really is.
Right? Like, I listen to Toronto sports radio now as a consumer, as a civilian.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I watch or listen to these guys struggle to talk basketball and just find any way they can to re-migrate.
Yeah.
Over to hockey again. Kawhi Leonard, you know, I mean, he's your Austin Matthews.
It's a trick. We all do it in some capacity.
You don't have to, though. You actually like basketball.
Well, we expanded it, Leafs Lunch, and it made sense. They went from 2 hours to 1 hour, and my show's going for 3 hours. As long as the Raptors are alive, we're going 3 hours now, which makes sense. Like, I felt bad for Andy Petrillo and all of them on Monday. It's like, how do you talk about Nylander and the world? WHIF, whatever the hell it is, Nylander playing there and the Mitch Marner contract when Kawhi Leonard hit that shot. You know, everything right now is Raptors.
We'll get into the Mitch Marner contract.
Yeah.
And my shocking and possibly controversial,
yet
also possibly brilliant theory on what he's going to get. But before
Love
we
it.
Do that, we deferred the Spain conversation for too long, Matt.
Yeah.
First of all, how was it?
It was great. It was fantastic. I want to give first a shout out to the Wines of Rueda, the DO, the governing body that, you know, much like the Wines
they
of
paid
Niagara.
For your ticket.
Yeah, they paid for the ticket. I went in terms of actual wine stuff. I went in not with the highest expectations because that region, it's a white wine region. And whenever I've had their wines, they're fine. Wildly impressed. I recommend everyone listening. The grape is called Verdejo. And I can even pronounce it. And it's really good. And it can be. Here's the best way to put it, because I don't want to get too wine technical. If you like Pinot Grigio, try this. It's the same price and there's a lot more depth. So I learned a lot. The trip was great. The weather was nice. I saw blue skies and green grass. You know, 4 days of touring around all these wineries, and it gets tiring. And I know this is the point where I should be slapped in the face by every coal miner. But when you're going from winery to winery and trying stuff and eating, like, by the end of the day, you're just pooped. And again, I don't expect any sympathy. But it was a fantastic time. I learned a lot, and I was well-behaved.
So I think Spain is wildly underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And if Italy is like the Stones, then Spain is like your favorite indie band.
Yeah.
It's got everything Italy has, mm-hmm. but just cooler.
Mm-hmm.
The people are nicer, by and large.
Okay.
The food is just as delicious, but a little bit, not odder, but more surprising.
It is more surprising. I will take Italian food over Spanish food. It's no offense. I love the Spanish food. My favorite thing is if you are a vegan, don't go to Spain.
Impossible.
One of the people on our trip, she was a vegetarian, and they did a great job because all our lunches and dinners were planned at different restaurants, and they always knew, and they always had things aside. But salad is sort of a foreign, like their idea of salad is like potatoes with, you know, someone put an asparagus in and there's heavy cream. It's like, it's tough. Like that, it's just not that culture.
It actually reminds me of my mother-in-law, my Italian mother-in-law, who once had a vegan at the table and said she didn't eat meat and she was offering. She's like, okay, she understands that. So then she offered her some prosciutto.
Yeah.
Right? And she said, no, I don't eat meat. And my mother-in-law looks at her and goes, not meat, it's prosciutto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In Spain, vegetarian means we've wrapped the chicken with salmon. You know, it's... loved it. Madrid, great, easy, like just, it's a huge city, but an easy walkable town.
People are so much better looking in Europe.
Oh my God.
They're so much better looking.
They're better looking. They're better dressed, you know.
They're just way cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Like they're not nicer. I don't think. I think by and large, Canadians are pretty nice.
Yep.
You know, I think most Europeans in my travels, mm-hmm. a little prickly. Now, it could be the fact they know I'm, you know, North American and probably assume I'm American.
Yep.
You know, there could be that. But
my MAGA hat did not endear myself.
That's really funny. That's awesome.
And I was only drunk on the first night when we didn't have any opportunities to do the next day.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you were like a real grown-up on this trip.
I was a real grown-up because... I don't want to be hung over on our van, you know, that's going to winery to winery. I don't want to be hung over. I don't want to be crazy tired.
Sound like fun.
I didn't want to enjoy it. No. So beyond the first night, I will say this also a shout out. Mm-hmm. The woman who was driving us for most of the days, oftentimes she was going 175 kilometers an hour.
Right.
She passed a Corvette. Like at one point, we just saw the Corvette in the distance. She was great. She was crazy fast. And she could
weave. Were the roads straight?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She could weave in and out like when you're in small towns, when it's like cobblestone. She could still make these turns. At one point, I'm just sitting there like, you know, got my popcorn watching this. I mean, it was incredible.
This is a general truism. Bus drivers in Europe are enormously great and talented drivers.
Yeah.
And also a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you get on a tour bus, it is the opposite of North America. Their object is to get there fast.
Yeah.
And they don't care if they're reckless.
Oh, yeah. And she was reckless. She was, I would put my life in her hand. I did.
It's weird how trusting you are of people that are going 160 kilometers in traffic.
Yeah, 160. That's when we're in the school zone. You know. Just crazy. But yeah, fully recommend, as you just said, go to the area, Rueda. It's close to Madrid, Segovia, beautiful country, and really good, impressive array of wines.
So Mitch, there's Martin? Any number of topics. We could go to Mitch. We could go to Game of Thrones.
I got a thought on Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I'm not going to swear this time. Everyone needs to calm the bleep down.
Okay.
Like just the level of self-entitlement of all these fans, and they got their arms crossed. No. That's not how I would do it. It's enjoyable. I mean, the last episode was epic. I'm sick and tired. Like, I know it's not perfect. You know, I know other seasons have had more depth and all this, but I'm tired. You know, people signed a petition to HBO asking for them to redo season 8. Those people need to, if you are out there, do not come up to me. I do not want to have a conversation with you. You are no fun at cocktail parties. Get out of here.
I like that they did it. It's ridiculous. And
get out of here.
But they're passionate. They're passionate. And season 8, the first couple episodes you thought were really good. Mm-hmm. And then the Winterfell episode was, you know, I didn't love it.
Okay.
And then 4 was kind of okay. It was sort of one of those interregnum ones in between things. And then 5, look, I actually liked it. I liked it in the sense that it was amazingly well shot.
Yeah.
It looked great. Yep. The dragon was fantastic. I mean, terrifying, but that was the whole point. And the idea that they would shoot it from the ground level up, like you never really saw Dany on the dragon. You didn't get her perspective. It was more like what was happening. It was really smart and extremely well done. But you know when you said, oh, I'm tired of people complaining about the season and all that? Well, the all that in your sentence refers to the quality of the show. Like, you can't really overlook it. It sort of has become schlocky.
It's been entertaining as hell. It is so compelling. Even if it hasn't...
It's not entertaining as hell.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It absolutely
is. It's as big as hell, but it's not as entertaining as hell.
Are you drawn into it?
No.
Really?
No, because there's a lot of stupid decisions happening. Like, when I go to watch it, like, I love John Wick.
Yeah.
Right? John Wick, Part 3, Parabellum coming up, right? I'm excited for it. And it's not that smart, but it doesn't try to be that smart. And it's exciting, and it's big, and I'm drawn into that. But Game of Thrones has set up all of these narratives, and they're just not paying any of them off. That's not interesting. Like, you can throw all the special effects you want, but you have to admit, Matt, this is like a bad Marvel movie, where you get a bunch of bad storytelling that's being papered over with CGI.
I can't go there.
Why not?
I can't go there. I don't know why I always mispronounce.
I'm principal.
Daenerys.
It's Daenerys.
I can't pronounce her name because there's so many different options. You know, there's so many. Like, no one looks at Matthew and goes.
Just call her Indomicon Sue.
Indomicon Sue. Boom. Nailed it. Edwin Encarnacion. Nailed it. Who's in Seattle, by the way?
Shocking. Turnover event.
He's a Mariner. Someone's got to keep me posted. There's just too many players in baseball. I'm enjoying her arc, like just her descent into madness. I love the episode after the Battle of Winterfell when she's sitting there alone and she's looking around. You know, and so that arc I'm enjoying. Jaime and Tyrion, you know, their final hug. That was a great moment.
It was a great moment.
Jaime in the end realizing I'm not a good person. I have to go back to her. You know,
but realized it so quickly, like 20 minutes before in the episode, he was.
When
Sansa
say, I was looking forward to hanging your sister. You know, that it all came back.
You know what sums up the stupidity of this season better than anything? Is Cersei, when she sees Jaime and Jaime's all banged up, and she goes, oh, you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Right? Because she loves him.
Yeah.
You sent an assassin to kill him 2 episodes ago with the family crossbow. And now you see him and you're worried that he's bleeding because it's more convenient in the moment.
She's a complex character,
no,
Bob.
No, it's bad writing, Matt. Look, I enjoyed it. I think on a certain level, you turn off your brain and say, this looks great and I love these characters and whatever. But you can't say it's good. And because it's not good, you can't say I'm pulled into it.
I think it is good. I don't think it's as complex or as smart as other seasons, but am I enjoying it? Am I compelled by it? Am I, you know, are emotions being stirred? Yes. So because all those things are happening, I define it as good.
George Lucas once said about the emotions of the audience, I can put a cat in a bag and threaten to throw it into a lake and people will respond. That's not storytelling.
That's a good point. That's a good quote.
Right.
By the way,
don't give me that.
By the way, Bob, considering some of the more recent Star Wars movies with George Lucas, you might not want to choose him as your ally right now.
Well, and I would actually agree with you. I rewatched American Graffiti recently. That movie's brilliant, but it's been a while since he's cranked out a good one.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the snob. In fact, I'm not the snob because I actually enjoyed huge sections of season 8 and episodes 5 specifically.
Yep.
But you can't deny they're just trying to get the hell out of Dodge. They've got the Star Wars trilogy coming up. The first movie is going to be out in 2022. I'm sure that's an enormous cash cow for them. Also, you know, Benioff and Weiss, for the last two seasons, the quality has gone down. For the last two seasons, they haven't had any source material to work with. Mm. Coincidence?
Yeah, I agree with you in the ideas. You know, this is not the strongest season. I'm just... like maybe a part of what I'm reacting to is the onslaught of like criticism online and people signing the petition. Like, I'm like, everyone, stop crossing your arms or your arms are crossed up to your nipple and just relax a little bit.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Because people are passionate about it. Uh-huh. And this is like you sound like the sports team that's like, well, if your fans don't like it, then you don't have to come. The stupidest point of view of all time, because if they don't care about it, guess who doesn't have jobs?
Yep.
You guys. Mm-hmm. The people who are passionate about Game of Thrones, I love that they want to do this. It's stupid, but so what? How many times have you said to me, Matt, you, Matt Cause,
uh-oh,
on this pod,
here's my first
and
last
many thing. Times before,
yeah,
it's supposed to be about passion. I don't care about dumb takes. You're into it. It doesn't matter. It's supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these people are having fun.
I don't think they are having
they
fun.
They are having fun.
They're indignant. They're self-entitled.
No,
they're
see, you're just... self-entitled. No, no. Going back to adjectives to disprove my point, you're doing the classic bad debating technique.
It's a good debating technique.
It's not good. It's just, nah, I don't agree. I still agree with my point. And here's some adjectives that make my point sound like a point.
People need to chillax, Bob. You know what I'm passionate about?
Mm.
I'm passionate about the law.
Are you passionate about ducking out of this conversation?
Well, you know what I'm passionate about? I'm passionate about our corporate responsibilities. That's what I am passionate about. But I'm also passionate about the law. And our lawyer is Jeff Pollack. Listen, let's say you want to sue HBO. You know why you're suing them? Because you feel you're not being delivered the quality entertainment you deserve. Though you're a nut, the only person that could win that case is Jeff Pollack. So if you want to sue HBO because you felt the show needs a little bit more subtlety and a little bit more time, call him up, 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. The website, jeffpollack.com. That's Jeff with a G. Give him a call. He will take your case. And the next thing you know, they'll add 4 more episodes where everything is deep and brooding and you'll feel more satisfied with character resolutions. How's that for a read?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. By the way, Matt just dabbed.
I did.
Which was the least cool thing I think I've ever seen.
It's up there in the least cool things you've ever seen.
Not only that, but Jeff Pollack gave me cheese recommendations. Because Ooh. For Mother's Day, I went to a fancy cheese shop.
Yep.
Fine cheeses, as we like to call them.
Cheese, by the way, not even sneaky expensive. Just expensive.
You know what? He gave me some good recommendations. He knows me.
Yeah.
He gave me the expensive ones and then the sort of like ones that taste like the expensive ones.
Yeah.
So I, of course, went for those.
Yeah.
And they were really good. They were really good. My wife loved them.
Nice.
It was a nice surprise.
Legal advice and cheese advice.
Fine law,
mm-hmm.
fine cheeses.
By the way, you go to those cheese stores, you're spending as much as a Raptors ticket.
I only spent $40.
Yeah. Oh, good. Nice.
I didn't go nuts on it, though.
That's
and
weird.
I was only buying for 2 of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. Something called Gray Owl.
Love Gray Owl.
That was really good.
It's my favorite cheese.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
And Beemster.
Mm-hmm.
I had Beemster, and even my daughter liked it.
Nice.
As she now says, hey, I like fine cheeses.
That's not a good thing. You sure. want to keep her on Kraft Singles because, again, kids, they're expensive.
Man.
How are you people all not $500,000 in debt?
Do they still Seriously. Have Kraft cheese license? I don't think they do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see them in the stores anymore. Are they there?
What, are you going to like Whole Foods? What fancy stores are you going to? Come join me at No Frills, Bob. The Kraft Singles is alive and well, and it's making your grilled cheese delicious.
Yeah, it was always good. And the thing it was good for was toaster oven pizza, too, mm-hmm. where you would just go and get some salami and
yeah.
put a slice of salami on top of a slice of Kraft cheese
yep.
on a piece of bread
yep.
and then slide it into the toaster oven.
With a little of the ragu pasta sauce and bam.
Did you actually do the ragu as well?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
you went all out, eh?
Fancy fella.
Class act.
Fancy fella.
All right, so before we move on to the Leafs, yeah. which we'll do, one yeah. last question about Game yeah. of Thrones. You and I disagree about the season.
Yeah.
But
well, we agree. I agree with you that the quality isn't there, but I still think it's good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and I still think there's lots to like about it, even though it's not resolving as well as it could. Does somebody actually win the Game of Thrones at the end?
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or do you think that they just blow up the Game of Thrones?
No. Sansa is going to win. And at the end, you're going to go, huh, she kind of reminds me of Cersei. Sansa is going to become Cersei. That is how I see it.
I buy that. I think that it's certainly not going to be Jon Snow.
No.
And I can't see it being Arya. Bran would be just weird.
If Bran wins, I take back everything from this episode and I will be signing the petition because I hate Bran so much.
I tend to agree with you. If somebody wins, I think it's Sansa. Although I would say my real feeling is that they'll just have no... Like, the idea of the centralized kingdom will be blown up, and they'll just go to being separate countries.
I got a question for you, Bob. This might be the smartest question I've ever come up with.
Okay.
What is easier? Playing Bran, where you basically sit there, so no physical thing. You only have to memorize about 8 lines, but that's all you got. Or being a fan of the Golden State Warriors. What's easier?
I'm going to say fan of the Golden State Warriors. Because Bran, every once in a while, has to do that thing where you look up and roll your eyeballs back. And that's hard to do.
Yeah, that is hard to do.
It's allergy season for me, so occasionally I got to get drops in.
Oh.
And honestly, it's just torture.
Yeah.
The roll the eyes back thing, I can't stand it. So I give Bran props for that.
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors fan,
it's
the easiest gig in sports.
It is. It's like... Okay, Durant is a top 3 player in the league. Oh, he's gone. Hooray! Now we can have fun again.
Okay, more privileged sports fan. The Patriots fan or the Warriors fan?
Warriors. Because every now and then the Patriots have lost twice to Eli Manning. And
the Warriors lost. They lost to LeBron.
Yeah, once, Game 7, and Draymond Green had to get kicked out for one, and Kyrie Irving and LeBron had to play out of their minds.
Well, Eli Manning had to complete a ridiculous, crazy pass.
He did, but Golden State, they lost in 7. And then what did they do after that? They usually sweep, Cleveland in the finals. They, in their last 29 games where Steph Curry played and Durant didn't, they're 28-1. Let me repeat that again. Golden State... because basketball is a game where it's one star can disproportionately impact winning or losing. Kevin Durant doesn't play. They're 28-1. And the players, they're not even going, oh, we really miss Kevin. We can't wait for him to come back. They're like, hooray, it's 2016 again.
Game 6 against Houston, I watched Steph Curry pull up for a 35, 36-foot three-pointer.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni calls timeout and freaks out at Clint Capella because you got to get up on him.
Yeah.
Think about how nuts that conversation is. You're yelling at your big man because he didn't get 35 feet away from the basket to take away the outside shot.
It's ridiculous. It's I wish I was a Golden State fan. Every day would be so simple. It's like, we're going to win again. You buy tickets for game 3 because maybe they'll just end the series in 3 because no one wants to play game 4.
They just forfeit.
God.
All right. So let's talk Leafs then.
Yep.
So the biggest conversation around the Leafs continues to be Mitch Marner, mostly because Kyle Dubas said it should be.
Yeah.
Said this is our number one course of action.
We're not signing any Hammond Eggers or any fourth line guys. We're getting Marner done.
And the longer you wait, there's this ambient panic because the Nylander situation went so poorly. What's going to happen with Mitch Marner? Everybody just wants to see it resolved. So the question then becomes, what's the number?
Yeah.
The Mitch truthers are the ones who are saying it's got to be $11 million.
Yep.
The ones who are more modest about it, let's just say, suggest, 8 to 9 million for a winger is pretty much the going rate.
Yep.
You could probably inflate it in the nines if you had to, but you would never get to double digits. Do you have a particular theory or idea before I bust out my controversial idea?
I think it's going to be high nines. I don't think it should be 11. I don't think it should be Austin Matthews. And we're focusing so much on what Marner did for Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we reverse engineering that? All Tavares ever did with, Anders Lee, all the players he played with in the Islanders.
Matt Molson.
Yeah, he made those guys better. Those guys all had career years with him. So why are we not talking about the impact that Tavares had on Marner? And it's not that Marner didn't.
No, I do think it's because of the impact that Marner happened to have on Kadri, happened to have on Bozak and JVR. Oh, no.
my nickname for him has always been the veteran whisperer. He's great, and he has an impact. But I think we sort of ignore the impact that Tavares, the positive results that Tavares had on Marner. So I'm going to go high nines.
If you in baseball had exactly the same player with exactly the same numbers, and one played left field and one played center field, the center fielder would be worth more money.
Yes.
Because it's just a position that requires more and impacts more.
Yeah.
It's not a knock against the left fielder, who could be great, but it's just it's more important to have a great center fielder than it is a left fielder.
Yeah.
In the same way, I would say, like, you can have a great winger, you can have a great defensive winger or whatever, but it doesn't matter because they don't play center and there's just not as much impact on the game.
John Fogerty, you know, in the song, center field. He didn't sing, you know, after Put Me in Coach, left field, center field.
Every sport you win up the middle. Yeah. Okay, so here's my thought. I agree with you, and I think it's going to be in the nines. Now, Ovi has $9.5 million right now, and he's the top-paid winger in the NHL.
Yep.
Now, you can make the argument that that was signed at a time when, you know, relative to the cap, it was a bigger number.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, you can say, well, you know, Mitch Marner is just a kid. He's 22 years old, and even though he's had a great start, you know, there's still lots to come. All right. Here's my number. 9.7. 9.7. Mm-hmm. Here's why.
Yep.
Dubas knows that every penny counts. I don't think he's going to go into the double digits. Marner is going to want to get into the double digits, so the high nines is going to make it's the only place left where you can go. Hockey players are crazy superstitious.
Yep.
Sidney Crosby signs for, you know, $8.7 million because he's number 87. Austin Matthews
his
works
out. It's like, why don't you wear 98? I know you can't wear 99, but you wear 98, you got
more
money.
Well, it's funny you say that because if he signs for 9.9, then everyone, like, I think Mitch Marner's number is going to be 9.7. And here's why.
Why?
More than Ovi.
Yeah.
Not quite 10. Mm-hmm. And what year was he born?
1997.
1997. Now, he's not getting 10.16.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going into double digits.
Yeah.
9.7. Mm. Mark my words.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way I can see that he can be superstitious.
Yeah. I like that. That's not controversial. That's clever.
All right.
Yeah. Well, 9.7.
9.7. Let's see if I'm right.
Let's see if you're right. Hopefully, God, get that deal done. Is Dubas too nice? Is he too buddy-buddy with the players? It's a conversation that's out there. And it goes back to, you know, sometimes you've got to be a hard ass. And at least outwardly, even Shanahan talks about it is a partnership. You can have in basketball, you need a partnership with LeBron James. In other sports, you don't really need a partnership as much because, again, the impact is different. You know, the amount of money they gave Nylander, it's been out there. I'm just curious your thoughts. You think is Dubas too nice?
I think he might have been a little bit on the Nylander deal, although they arrived at a number that was, I think, kind of fair. Even though Nylander didn't play great, over the course of his contract, I think it'll be proven to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. If he, you know, if what we saw it as a 20-year-old, he goes back to that, then yeah, it eventually will be a fair deal. But I do wonder if I've been thrown around in my head about Dubas.
The question begs the second question for me, which is, what is the new version of NHL star expecting from his franchise? Mm-hmm. Because it was the sport that was least likely to see stars bark back at their team, particularly in public, but even behind the scenes. Everybody stayed with their franchise.
Yep.
Everybody took smaller deals, you know, or some did. Maybe that was a little bit inflated, but, you know, the popular idea was the star commanded the least amount of power in hockey as compared to the other four sports. And maybe that's not going to be true in the next 10 years. And maybe Dubas is part of a new management structure that understands, especially in Toronto, where these guys are real stars. You know, it's different than if you're in San Jose and you've got Thomas Hertl. Well, that's great for the 20,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
But nobody cares.
No one cares.
Like here, Mitch Marner, it's Beatlemania.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if they wind up winning. So I don't know. Maybe the better question is, is the idea of what a star expects from his franchise going to change in the NHL? And if so, is Dubas on the leading edge of that?
I think it is. I think we will. Yeah, we're not going to go back to what it was. Players, you know, the whole player empowerment thing, which is obviously makes more sense in basketball than it does in hockey. It still is trickling into it. The real problem with the Leafs in terms of contract, it's not just their deals. It's that Tampa doesn't have any bad deals. Boston doesn't have any bad deals. When you look at the stars on those teams, they're not wildly overpaying anyone. They're the, you know, and that might change with other RFAs on those teams eventually having to resign. But right now, you look at the contracts and like everyone, like, yeah, that's a great deal. That's a great deal. Like
San Jose, too.
Yeah.
I don't think they have anybody over $9 million on San Jose, and they got a lot of stars.
Beyond, like, for the Leafs, it's basically Morgan Rielly and to a lesser extent Kadri. Those are the really good deals. Beyond that, a lot of the deals might be fair, but in terms of a cap world, they're not good, and there's a difference.
I think you got to go back to the percentages. Auston Matthews, I don't have his percentage off the top of my head, but everyone said Sidney Crosby signed a great deal for Pittsburgh, took the hometown discount. No, he didn't, because based on where the cap was, it was somewhere between 16 and 17% of the available cap, and he could only go up to 20. So he signed for what was pretty consistent with superstars. Same with Connor McDavid, signed for right around that amount. Everybody worries about how the superstars are getting overpaid with the Leafs and it's going to like ruin the curve.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting paid what they deserve.
Oh, they are getting paid what they deserved. This
is not Dubas cozying up to the players and overpaying them. This is what they're worth on the open market.
Yes. Oh, no. These deals are fair, but these deals are also making it really hard. It's funny. Dubas is given those deals, but those deals are also making it harder for him to do his job.
If Patrick Marleau has a 2-year deal and he's off the books this year, as opposed to a 3-year deal, right? Yeah. How different is life?
Oh, life's really different.
Really different.
It is really different.
I'm going to throw an idea, and I don't want to get into capology too much. We can do a little rosterbation, but maybe not too much. But I still don't think next year is the year for the Leafs. And I know nobody wants to hear that because they think every single year is the year they got to win.
Mm-hmm.
No, because they're in cap hell, right? But the year after that, bunch of numbers come off the books.
Yep.
And they're in a much better position to go out and get, you know, like the holes we ask, how are they going to fill, you know, the defensive issues and right shot and Hainsey and this and that and backup goalie and so on and so forth. Hey, guess what, gang? Maybe they're not. Maybe they're not, because in this year, the best thing they can do is get their best players signed long term and accept the fact that next year they're going to be a more flawed roster than they were this year. But guess what? The year after that, they have a chance to really address some of these issues. So maybe this panic that, hey, they can't make next year's team perfect is an irresolvable and silly issue. Strap in and just hope that they sign the best players for the longest period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. But I want to win now.
I know, but that's the thing is they're good.
I need the Leafs to go further because I got to tell you, If we're in the cone of honesty here, and this is, you know, by and large a sports podcast, I don't care about these playoffs. Like, the only thing I care about is if Boston has a chance to be eliminated.
Right.
I would
care about Carolina-Boston if it was 3-0 the other way.
Yeah, then I would care. I don't even care about Carolina. I care about, is there a team that can beat Boston?
Well, I'm scouting Carolina now, though.
What's that?
I'm scouting Carolina for the big deal that we're eventually going to pull off for one of their defensemen.
Oh, okay. But see, again, you view Carolina not out of playoffs, but out of Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which is fair. This idea that people are hockey fans, I don't know where this came from. Yeah. I there are some,
yeah,
as there always are.
They're hardcore.
Yeah, but by and large, people like their team.
Yeah.
This idea that who's going to be Canada's team, guess what? Nobody.
No
one. Because nobody gives a shit about any of the other teams unless it's theirs. Unless they're super hardcore, and then it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like hockey.
The hardcores are there, and the rest of us are trying to buy into the feel-good Joe Thornton story.
You know, which is kind of nice.
You know,
sure.
You know, I came up with this analogy yesterday, not on air, just in my head. You know, when you hear the story, and this will go to Thornton. When you hear the story about some sort of bird that's gone extinct,
mm-hmm,
and you read about it, and you're like, oh, that sucks. 3, 2, 1. I'll get the spicy Thai. Yeah, a shrimp. Thank you.
Would have been even better if you would have made it a bird dish.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. The chicken. Ooh, yeah, I'll have the chicken. You worry for a moment. You have a brief emotional spike, and then you move on. That's kind of how I feel about Thornton. It's like, oh, that's great. Yeah, no, double chicken. You know, and that's why I feel like I'm trying to get emotional about Joe Thornton, but I can't even do that.
Well, plus as a Torontonian, we still have the Raptors to think about.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say St. Louis, San Jose. I'm riveted to that series, even though last night was fantastic. That game was crazy. San Jose came back from two goal leads down.
Yeah.
And then there was the insanity with the hand pass in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crazy hotly contested game, but who cares? You're up against the Raptors in game one. I watched about 4 minutes of that game.
Yeah, I just watched the highlight. Like, I just, I have
But of course you did.
Yeah. I have no emotional connection. Like, all I want is some, much like I still enjoy Game of Thrones because I got emotional connection, I don't have any emotional connection beyond hatred of the Boston Bruins.
Well, That's to go back to Game of Thrones for just 1 second, the reason why you're still watching it as closely as you are with as much enjoyment is because you are very Torontonian in your tastes.
Okay.
And here's what I mean by that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Here comes the compliment.
It's not an insult. Torontonians are really hard to sell on something. Mm-hmm. Like in the music world, it was known like Toronto crowds are tough.
Yeah.
But once they like you, they're so in. They're like the best crowds. Yeah. And you even see this in sports. You know, they don't care until they do. And then they care a lot.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like that with TV shows. Like, you don't really have a lot of shows.
No, I don't.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't even have Netflix, I don't think.
I got it. But I don't, you know, I just rewatched stuff that I watched in the past.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, you basically only get services if they have the things you already like on them.
Yes. I don't do a lot of exploring. The odd Stranger Things here or there, but I don't do a lot of dabbling.
And Stranger Things only because it reminds you so much of stuff you already like.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, I love those 80s movies. I got to watch Stranger Things and get into new stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and it's not an insult. I'm just saying that's your nature.
Yes.
Torontonians are like that with music.
Mm-hmm.
My experience from back when I was in a band. So that's why you like Game of Thrones, is because you just like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You don't care what it does.
Nope. Well, I mean,
within reason.
Yeah, within reason. Absolutely.
Would you go out and listen to the next Arcade Fire album if it sucked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'll try to, you know, convince myself it's good, and then I'll just put it on lesser rotation. But that'll never happen because Arcade Fire has yet to do a bad album. It's crazy.
They are awfully good. How much time do we have?
Bob, I'm going to quickly say SeatGiant.ca. They're our sponsor. Mm-hmm. You should use them for tickets. Bob, if you're going to get those Raptor tickets, SeatGiant.ca. And the great thing is you get to use your name in the discount code. Bob and Matt, use that at checkout. You save money. You save some cash. We get a small kickback. It's win-win. They are a Canadian partner for the show. SeatGiant.ca. And with that, we've got 1 minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Zion not going to New York. Zion maybe not going to New Orleans.
Zion Williamson sounded the way Connor McDavid looked when Connor realized he was going to Edmonton.
Do you think he's
going
to go full Lindros?
Not his first year. I'm sure Anthony Davis, like, listen, just play for a year or two and then be an asshole. You'll get out.
Yeah, and you'll be worth a ton. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to make over $20 million bucks next year, even as a rookie, just with his endorsement deals.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
You can't walk away from $20 million bucks. Just go play for the Stinky Pelicans.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You don't have to stay there. We got to see John Wick, and then maybe for the next pod, we'll do a John Wick.
Sure.
You know what? Should we just do a second pod next week, which is Game of Thrones / John Wick based?
Ooh. Let me take a look at my schedule. But yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, maybe Monday or Tuesday, what we do is we just double up,
mm-hmm.
and we'll do one sports one.
Yep.
And we'll do one entertainment one.
Who doesn't enjoy 4,000 headshots, which is basically what John Wick 3 is going to be. It's just a lot of bullets to the head.
It's got great suits, though.
Yeah. Bob, I've missed you. I'm glad to be back. This is a blast. Take care.
Bye, Maddie.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.